We're in the home this afternoon of Frida Hansen in Westcliff, Colorado. The date is March 28, 1990. And we're going to just sit here and chat with her and find out about her, how she came to the Valley and her parents. And that's what I'll ask first of all. Give me your full name and then your parents.
Frida Ince Hansen.
And what were your parents' names?
William J. Ince and Nellie B. Ince.
And your mother's maiden name?
Was Haas.
Haas. Mm-hmm. And they, to that marriage, how many children?
Were five children born.
And can you give me their names?
Yes.
Starting from the oldest, if you can.
Blanche. Ince Lawrence. Lawrence J. Ince. Then her next.
Okay.
And then Iowa Elizabeth Long. Dora May Tranty.
Okay. And you were married to your husband's name?
Walter W. Hansen.
And what year were you married?
In 1933.
And did you have any children?
We have one daughter, Donna Nell Hall.
Where does she live now?
She lives in Gunnison.
Now tell me how your parents came to this area.
Well, my parents came to the Wet Mountain Valley in a covered wagon. All of their belongings were in two wagons. And they came from western Kansas, around the lake in Kansas, in 1918.
And why did they come to this area?
They came here. They were not happy in Kansas. It was hot and windy, and they decided that it would be wonderful to live in the cool mountains of Colorado.
Mm-hmm. They came up here and visited before they came?
Yes.
So that they picked out a section of property, and did they homestead it?
Yes, they did.
So when you came in your covered wagons, did they have any buildings built yet?
No. No, at least I don't think so, because we lived in a neighbor's cabin for a while. And then later they built a one-room, they called it a shack, a one-room shack, and it had a dirt roof. But it did have a floor in it, but it had a dirt roof.
A sod, yes. Roof.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you were how old when they came?
I was three and a half to be exact.
So you don't remember too much of that?
No, I remember just a little of the trip. I can remember we children riding in the covered wagon, and of course it had this round opening in the back, you know, and we would sit there and look out the back as we traveled down the road. And I think it was in the Lamar area where one of the horses sprained an ankle. So we had to stay over a few days for this ankle to heal so they could travel again. And I can still see my father doctoring this horse's ankle. I think they used hot vinegar or something on it, and I can still see my father doing that.
Did they know any people in the area or just kind of stopped and camped?
Just stopped and camped. And they set up the range in the covered wagon. And when Mother went to cook, they laid the tarp back and put the stovepipe on, and my mother would cook. And then they had fixed our beds in the wagon, too. And my parents, they had them like a double bed, you know, bunk beds. Mm-hmm. And my parents' bed was fixed up above, and the children were underneath. There was only four of us then. My youngest sister was born after we came to Colorado. She's 10 years younger than I am.
Do you remember any of when she was born, the doctor?
Yes.
The doctor that was here?
You know, I don't believe I'm sure about that.
Okay. Was she born at home?
Yes. Do you know where the building is on there? golf course down.
Oh, yes.
She was born in that house. We lived there.
You were living, that was part of your ranch at that area?
No, my father was working for the people, for the man that owned all of that, and we lived there.
So did your mother have any help? Was there somebody there with her?
A neighbor lady.
Mm-hmm. Was there with her, and you remember when the baby was born?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you went to school in this area. What were the schools that you attended?
Just Julay, here in this area.
And how did you get to school?
We went in a buggy, horse and buggy, or horse and sleigh.
Would your father drive you there?
No, my brother did the driving. We went alone.
Do you remember any snowstorms or anything that you had problems with?
Well, if they were too big, we didn't always get to school. I loved those days. I could play with my doll on those days.
Were there many that you were snowed in?
No. I can't recall that there were many.
Uh-huh. And what were some of the names of your teachers? Do you remember?
Well, the one at ULA was Mildred Callahan. She was the main one. Let's see, was there another one? There surely was.
Was she married?
No, she was not married. She was Miss Mildred Callahan.
And did the teacher live near the school?
She lived in town. Miss Mildred lived in town, and she usually walked to school, which that would be about a couple of miles or more.
I think so.
Did she come from here, or did she come?
Did she come to the area from somewhere else?
No, her parents lived here. Her father was postmaster here in Westcliff, and her mother was assistant or whatever it was. She was his helper anyway.
So she grew up here and went to school also. You know, she graduated from any of these schools.
You know, I don't know when they came here. They came from Missouri. So now I wouldn't know about Mildred and just where she went to school.
Okay, so you went to ULA school, and then you went to high school here.
Yes.
Did you have a graduation from ULA, or did you just go from the eighth grade right into high school like they do now?
We had a graduation. My brother and I were in the same grade, and we had a graduation. We came in. I'm sure it was held at the high school. And it was a graduation, and let me see, now we got diplomas. Did we come in for, maybe we didn't come in for graduation, maybe we just received our diplomas. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. Well, what were some of the activities you remembered at school?
Well, we played baseball. We played hide and seek, and what was the one where it's, was it Echo? What was it called?
Echo. How do you play that?
Well, you all hide, and then there is someone who is it, as we always said. And after you would, everyone would get hidden, but then someone would call Yoo-hoo or Echo, whichever it was, and they would try to find me. So that was fun.
You would hide behind bushes and rocks and
yes,
like that. Mm-hmm. But tell me where the ULA school was.
It was, that's about a quarter of a mile from Nellie Camper's house. And it is east of the ULA Cemetery. I don't know the distance there.
And tell me what happened to it. It's no longer there.
No, it was school was converted to living quarters, and they had built onto it. It made it quite a large house, and it caught fire and it burned completely down.
Now, tell me a little bit about the ranch, your parents' ranch.
Well,
where was that situated? Where are they homesteaded?
It was 8 miles north of West Cliff. It was on the Copper Gulch Road. It was off the Copper Gulch Road about a mile. But that was the way we got there. We went out on this Copper Gulch Road, I think about 8 miles, and then we turned to our right off it and down to where our buildings were. In fact, we didn't have any property that bordered the Copper Gulch Road. Ours was all off the road.
So you had to go quite a ways off the road?
Yes, it was a ways off the highway.
You made your own trail?
Yes, yes. And in the winter, the wind would blow it full. It would keep moving and moving so we could get through.
Mm-hmm. Now, you told me that it was called a dry ranch.
Yes.
What is a dry ranch?
Well, a dry ranch is where they ranch and have to depend on Mother Nature for all of the moisture and all of the water.
There's not a stream running through it?
No. Of course, they dug a well. We had water for house use and our animals and so forth. Well, Mother did irrigate her garden a little bit, but none of the other crop was irrigated.
Do you remember how they dug the well?
Yes, with a pick and shovel and a windlass.
It was open. Was it open, or was there a pipe in the ground?
Oh, they closed it. It was 48 feet deep.
They dug down with a pick and shovel 48 feet deep. And then you took your bucket and lowered it, that kind of a thing?
They did that to begin with. And then they put on a pump, and we pumped it. And it was a good well, good water.
But at the time, they really didn't know where they were going to hit any water, did they?
No. Well, I think they did. I think someone had witched and said that there was water there. But they did have to go awfully deep. And I think the first 12 or 15 feet was just dirt. But the rest of it was solid rock, so they didn't have to wall only this upper part that was dirt. Because, of course, for the rock where it was solid rock, that would not cave in. So they didn't have to wall that part of it.
Is there anything there now where you ran?
Oh, yes. And the well is still there. And there's a huge tank there. It did belong to the Clevenger outlay. But I don't know who owns all of that now.
Did they bring animals with them, like cattle or anything?
No, just the horses. That was all they brought.
Were they ranchers or more farmers?
They were farmers. You mean after they came here?
Mm-hmm.
It was more farmers. Later, my father ran some cattle, and later we had cows and milked cows. And my mother would she churn butter, make butter, and brought to town and had her customers and sold butter and cottage cheese and buttermilk and cream.
Did you help make some of that?
Oh, yes. Did you? Yes.
Chickens? Did you have chickens?
Oh, yes. Yes. My mother had lots of chickens later.
How about produce? What kind of things did they raise?
Now, do you mean in the garden?
Yes.
Well, in our garden, we had the usual things, lettuce and radishes and carrots and beets and turnips and rutabagas and squash, peas and beans and corn and cauliflower.
And that was the only way it was irrigated, was just if it rained.
Well, now this garden part we're talking about, Mother did irrigate. They did water some of that from the well. The garden was close to the well, and they did irrigate some of that from the well. But now the big farming that my father did, you know, make money at, well, he planted peas, and we picked peas, and he would haul them to a hillside, and they were put on those on the train in those cars that were filled with ice, and they were shipped away then. So
and that is main crop peas?
Well, it was to begin with, yes, and that was our early crop. And then he raised potatoes for the later crop, It was a couple of years. We had real good potato crops. But then they got this disease in them, or this bug or whatever it is. And then, that, of course, they didn't find out what to do for it to begin with. So then he didn't do well on potatoes at all.
And once that got into the ground, they couldn't...
I guess it gets into the ground. I think so. And then he planted like corn for feed for the horses and the cows. And he planted oats that made hay. He didn't let it ripe, and he cut it for hay for the livestock.
Garden produce, was that just for your own use, or did you sell some of that?
Not much. I would say that was more for our own use. Mm-hmm.
When he had these crops, would you ever remember a year where the hail knocked it out?
Oh, yes, we had years when the hail ruined the peas. And if they got any spots on the pods at all, they wouldn't take them at the...
Would they have the high school? Did they have any plays?
Yes, we had plays. The as they do now, the junior and senior class both had plays.
Band? Did you play an instrument?
No, we didn't have band then.
Art? Did you have any art classes?
Our home ec teacher taught us some art about putting colors together and that type of thing, but not the way they have art now, no.
So you took sewing and...
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. And cooking.
Cooking. Mm-hmm. In your home ec class. What was your home ec teacher's name?
Frances Kettle. It's her picture that's in the...
Is this before she became principal?
Yes.
So she taught home ec first. That's
yes.
She first
did. Now you see she taught home ec way back in the late 20s. I started high school in 28, I guess.
When you got out of high school, what did you do?
Well, I went home and helped at home, and then I helped a lady that lived on a ranch. I helped her cook for her men and keep house and that. So I did that for about a year, and then I was married and I got married.
How'd you meet your husband?
Well, he was the best man, and I was, we stood up with Blanche and Johnny when they got married. That's what started us.
So he was friends with Blanche?
Yes, and Johnny. They both worked at Aunt Johnny and Lammy. Lammy was my husband's nickname. They worked for...
How do you spell that?
L-A-M-M-Y.
And why did they call him Lammy?
I'm not sure. He said he got that name when he was a small child.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't think he was sure just why he got it. But it stuck with him all of his life.
Uh-huh. And so where did he work?
They worked for a Hanson truck line, Hanson filling station. That's where that art building, the big garage and filling station, mm-hmm. there. That's where they worked.
And did he, was he a mechanic or did he drive a truck?
He drove a truck.
Where would he drive the truck to?
They trucked from here to Pueblo and also to Canyon. To begin with, they made the trips once a week, but later then, they made the trips to Pueblo every day, except the weekends.
What type of things did he carry?
Well, they hauled groceries for the grocery stores, and...
Did they haul any hay?
I think they hauled some hay.
Or
yes.
Cattle? Did they haul cattle?
Later they hauled cattle. Not when my husband worked for them. You see, the train was still coming. We still had the train here. So they hauled the cattle by train.
So this was mostly for provision for up here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The stores.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, did you get back to your parents a little bit? They ranched. And then, for how many years did they ranch? Oh, farm, we should almost say farm. right?
Yes, it was farming. It was
farming.
Yes, that was farming.
And so how many years did they farm? Just approximately.
Well, let's see. They started in 1918. And I think it was 42 when they moved off the dry ranch.
And when they moved off the ranch, where did they go?
Well, they moved out in the valley. They lived there a year or two. It's where, let's see, it's a Cook, Buster Cook, that isn't his real name, but it's out.
A Cook Ranch?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They just lived there, retired, or?
Oh, no, they bought ranched there.
There, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have they sold their place? Is that
it what didn't sell till later.
Uh-huh.
I think it was about 44 when it sold. Maybe it was 44 or 45.
They just wanted a smaller place or a bigger place?
Well, they couldn't make a living on the dry ranch, so they had to do something else was the reason for this.
And this ranch had more water?
Oh, yes, this one was irrigated.
Mm-hmm. That was probably the biggest reason.
Yes.
They had more water.
Yes.
And then when they left there, where did they go?
Well, my father worked a while. He ran heavy equipment for the Saw Conservation District, and they lived in Florence one winter. And they lived in Westcliff down here a couple of blocks for a while, too. But from Florence, then they moved to Silvercliff. There was living quarters in connection with the store in Silvercliff.
Okay, so he bought a store.
Yes.
And what was the store called?
Well, we called it the E&H Grocery.
And E and H stood for?
Anson Hansen.
And was this your husband that was in business with him?
Well, yes, we were, but I was the one that worked at the store. Just when they bought the store, when my husband got his job with the Soil Conservation Service, so it put an awful lot on us to begin with. So we only stayed in the store for a year. It was too much. Of course, I had to work all of the time, and he was busy otherwise, too. And our daughter wasn't happy for Mother to be gone all the time. So,
how old was your daughter then?
Well, let's see. She was born in 37. That was four. She was about 8 or 9 years old.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's about the time they need Mother at home.
That's right. That's right.
What kind of a store was it?
It was, they called it general merchandise. There was groceries and meat, and there was some drugs and some...
And then clothing?
Yes. Yeah. Not clothing, but, maybe a bit of clothing, but like thread and buttons and things like that.
Oh, notions.
More notions, yes.
Were there other of those types of stores in the area at that time?
Probably not a general merchandise like that. There were stores here in Westcliff, but they had their dry goods stores and grocery store, and they had the different stores where that went up there. Sort of combined a bit of all of it. But the larger part of it was the groceries and the meat.
When, about that time, where Clever's is now, what was in there?
Well, Mrs. Sumner had her honey business in there. You know, Mrs. Sumner had bees and worked with the honey. And she had, that's what was in there when we were in the store.
Now, that's Lois Barron's mother.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And where were her bees? Were they out in the valley?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She had them out in the valley.
She would go collect the
honey? Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then process it and put it in her store. And then all that was in there was honey. The whole store had just honey in it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They had their living quarters in the back part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was it before that? Do you remember?
No.
Do you know it all?
My husband would know, but mm-hmm. I think it was a drugstore, but I don't know.
What other places were there at that time? Do you remember any other stores that were
when
there?
When we were up there?
Uh-huh.
No.
It was Mr. Key had the laundry there?
That was before. Yes. That was when my husband was a boy, and they lived in Silver Cliff.
Now, what year was this that you had the store?
And we took over in 45, in May of 45. So we were in until May of 46.
What was in that building before?
Well, we bought it as a store. It was all equipped, and we bought it.
Do you know who you bought it from?
Yes. It was, the last name was Garrett.
And it was the same kind of store?
Yes, yes.
And then later your brother bought the store?
Yes, from my parents.
Mm-hmm. And then how long did he run the store?
Well, he bought it in 48. You know, I can't give you all of those dates.
Okay.
You see, he's the one that moved the store down where Harold is.
Into Silver Cliff, into West Cliff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then later gave his son-in-law.
He sold it to, I think it was Arapaho from Pueblo. And then it sold again, and the man went broke. And so it went through the small business and, you know, settling it and selling it. And that was when Harold got it, when it was sold by the small business.
And he's doing a good job.
Yes. Yes, a good store.
So it's good to keep it in the family there.
Yes, it is.
Now tell me a little bit about your church affiliations. Well, first of all, I need to ask you when you had met your husband at the wedding.
Yes.
And then how long did you go with your husband?
18 months.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then what year did you get married?
In 1933.
And your daughter was born when?
1937.
And so then I'll ask you about your church affiliations. What church were you married in?
We were married in Aztec, New Mexico. We were married in a Presbyterian church there. The Methodist minister was out of town, so we were married by the Presbyterian minister.
And your parents, did they go to the Methodist church?
Yes.
Here in town?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they started, did they start going as soon as they got here, or did they wait
a
while?
No, it was later. In fact, they started sending children to Sunday school before they started going to church very much. It wasn't easy to go to church and do those things.
Yeah.
Though.
By that, because you had all your chores and things.
Yes.
So people really made an effort on Sunday morning.
Yes.
To get there and back. And tell me about being in the Methodist Church. What positions did you and your husband hold there?
Well, he was chairman of the. No, he was the lay leader for a long, long time. And at that time, lay leader in the church was just almost the minister's assistant. Mm-hmm. And he was that for a number of years. And he sort of overseen the building of the church and getting funds together for the church.
And did you teach Sunday school? Or
yes. Mm-hmm. When our daughter was small, well, I taught Sunday school for many, many years. In fact, I taught Sunday school before I was even married. I was teaching the little beginners before we were married. And my husband was a Lutheran. He was not a Methodist, but he was a Lutheran. But he was not active. He wasn't going to church. He was not active in his church when we were married. And later he joined the Masonic Lodge. And of course you cannot be a member of the Lutheran Church, of this Lutheran Church, mm-hmm. and belong to a secret organization. Mm-hmm. So then, to my great happiness, he joined the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm. Was your daughter married there also?
She was married in the Methodist Church, yes.
Mm-hmm. Where did she meet her husband?
She went to college at Western State in Gunnison, and that's where she met him, and they were married. She's still living there.
I'll ask you, out of the six children that your parents had, five children that your parents had. How many of them, what type of schooling did they have?
Eighth grade. Lawrence and Blanche both graduated from grade school. Then Iola and I had high school. Iola had high school plus 2 years of college at Western State. And then Dorme, the younger one, had high school.
And it was, we need to say that, you know, when you're at the time when you were all growing up, a high school education was almost like a college education.
Yes.
It was really, it took a great deal of effort to just get to high school.
Yes.
And because so many of the people needed to help out on the ranches. And
that's right. And when my sister and I went to high school, my mother would rent us a room in town, and we stayed in town during the week and batched and went to high school. And then we would work evenings to make extra money.
Where would you work?
Well, we worked for Miss Frances Kettle. We worked some at the school in helping with in the domestic science room. And then we worked in her home on Saturdays, did cleaning and her laundry and that type of thing.
So you pretty much stayed in town?
We didn't go home until Saturday afternoon usually. And then we came back in usually either Sunday late afternoon or Monday morning.
Would you do your own cooking?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We did our own cooking.
Pretty self-sufficient. Depression years. Tell me something about the Depression years. What was it like in this area? Were people, do you feel like people were as hard hit during those years here as they were in cities, perhaps?
Well, the only thing, living in a community like this, I don't think there were as many hungry people as there might have been in the cities because, well, so many people here were ranchers and farmers and they raised their own food, so perhaps that was better than it was in the big cities. But it was hard here, and they had government WPA work projects where some of the men that didn't have other work, this provided them with work, and they did community things. For instance, the bridge out at the edge of town that was built by the WPA.
Now, which edge of town are we talking about?
Just right out edge of West Cliff. You know, there's a bridge right down at the...
Going toward Canyon City?
Yes, going up north. Mm-hmm. And, they graveled the streets. That is all I can think of right now that they did. But then there were commodities where the people that needed help were able to get some food to help.
Did they do anything with the park at all, or is that?
Not at that time. That came along later. Mm-hmm.
Was that a government project, the park?
No.
Or was it city?
City.
Something the city did.
And I think Miss Frances Kettle had something to do with the park, too.
She had a great many things to
yes,
do with
she
a
did.
Lot of things around
she
here.
She was a good woman. She was too good. I mean, for her own good. She just would spend too much on people.
During the Second World War, do you remember during the Second World War? Do you remember the First World War?
Not very much. I can remember a woman telling we children that our father would have to go to war, but he didn't. That it was settled. They made peace before he had to go.
And then the Second World War.
Well, as I said, my husband was too old to go. But it was hard. Things were rationed. Gas was rationed, meat and sugar. So some things were hard. Some things we had plenty of. Of course, we planted gardens, had our own gardens, and canned and that type of thing.
It wasn't anything too unusual. I mean, you did kind of did that anyway.
Yes.
So it was the sugar and possibly the meat,
yes,
the gas that
and
it
the
did
gas.
You.
Mm-hmm. However, if you needed to make trips to Canyon Life Port to see the doctor, that you could get extra gas for those trips. But just ordinarily, you were just allotted so much. I can't even remember how much, but you were just allotted so much gas. When that was gone, you stayed home. We stayed home anyway. Couldn't afford to go anyplace.
I'd like to ask you about some of the buildings in the Westcliff area when you were growing up. Do you remember the bank?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And who had that bank?
It was Beardsley.
What was his full name?
George Beardsley.
And was that the first bank that they ever had here? Do you know that?
I can't answer that. I don't really know.
But it was the one that was in town when you were...
Yes, that the only one I ever remember.
Uh-huh. Why did the bank go out? And we have one here today, but mm-hmm. There was a time when there wasn't any.
Evidently, it was the Depression and all of that, probably. You know, I'm not real sure about that, Irene.
Okay. Where the Village Shop is now, what was in there?
That was a dry goods store that I remember in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big dry goods store.
And by the... it's closed now. We don't have a movie, but there was a period where there was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Before there was a movie, what was in that place?
I think it was a pool hall.
Okay. And then who first brought the movie in?
I don't know, because there was a movie upstairs up above Grandma's house first. So I don't really know who started the movie here.
Were that when it was up above Grandma's house, was it were they talkies?
No.
Did the movie talk?
No.
You just went and there was no.
Just
was
pick.
There anybody playing any instrument?
Yes.
Organ?
The piano.
Mm-hmm.
The
piano.
Mm-hmm.
Who did that?
Mrs. Fee, when I remember it. We had a Dr. Fee here, and it was his wife. And the doctor and Mrs. Fee lived where the George Crows live now, and he had his office. They fixed a room for his office in part of the house.
And do you remember how much he paid to go to the movie?
I don't even remember. It seems to me that during Depression we paid, I think it was 50 cents. Maybe that's too much. I'm not even sure, Irene.
What is it, just once a week kind
yes.
of thing?
Yes.
Someone had said there was some skating. People skated up. Now, where was that at?
That was up above Jennings Market. That was a big hall up there. Of course, it's petitioned off now and made into apartments up there. I don't know that anyone lives up there right now. I'm not sure.
Did you ever go skating up there?
No, that was before I was around town. I've heard my husband speak about skating up there.
Mm-hmm.
But we lived up there when we were first married in one of the apartments up there for a few months.
That was neat. Where did the Jones Theater get its name? Was that from the people that owned the building, or?
I think Lawrence Jones ran it for a while, didn't he?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
She wasn't aware. Where did he get its name, Jones Theater?
It was Lawrence Jones's.
Some questions about the train.
Well, really, my first recollections of the train to a much extent was it passed close to the ULA school out there, and this was interesting to we children. And in the winter, when the wind would blow the snow, it would blow the, there were cuts for the track out there, and it would fill those cuts full of snow, and they'd have to come and clean it out before the train could get through.
They'd have to do that physically? Some men out there shoveling?
No, I think that they had a piece of equipment or something on the front of the engine of the train that would do that, I think was how that was done. And I can remember that sparks sometimes from the train would fall on the dry grass, you know, when it was winter or spring, and set it on fire. It burned it black and it put it out.
Mm. Did you ever ride the train?
No.
Why didn't you ever ride the train?
Well, I don't suppose we could afford to ride the train. We never went any place on the train.
So how did you get down to Canyon or Pueblo?
We didn't. Till later when we had a car. But when we just had horse and buggy, why, we didn't get to Canyon.
How often did you come into, when you were on the dry ranch, how often did you come into town?
My parents usually came in on the weekends, usually Saturday, once a week.
Was that really a big outing for you?
It was for them. We didn't usually come with them.
They left you there, and then they kind of made a day of it.
Yes. And, of course, then they did. They visited with the people around. That's where they would get acquainted, maybe with people from out south and so forth, and they would visit with them on Saturday.
Now, there was, I had heard tell that the community building, that's how that started, was that there was a lady that left that building so that women could come in and visit. Have you heard that story?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And while the men were getting groceries or... Mm-hmm. Some of their supplies.
Tending to business, yes.
So the women would go in there. Do you ever remember going in there as the empress?
No. Now, I was living in town at the time the community building was started. I was married and living in town. So, no, I never used it. I was on the library board at that time. You see, she bought this building, and it was to house the library and was to have this community room for the women and people of the valley to go in and read or rest or whatever they wanted to do while, as you say, their husbands were shopping or tending to business or whatever.
So you were on the first library board?
Well,
the
first one in the board that was down there, in the library that was down there, but there had been a library at the courthouse prior to that. It was moved, the library was moved from the courthouse to that building downtown.
And at that time, who else was on the library board?
Let's see, there was Mrs. Beeman, Mrs. Lucy Beeman, and Mrs. Catherine Bly, Mrs. Gertrude Hemingway, Mrs. Ray Adams, and myself. That's all I can think of.
So you were a pretty young woman at that time.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. When you were on it.
Yes.
What were some of the businesses that these women that you named? Hemingway, what did they do?
Well, they ran the Pines.
Okay. And Bly?
Well, they lived on a ranch out near the ski course. I think that the ski course walked their ranch out there. And Mrs. Ray Adams lived where the Dick Wilsons lived down Hillside. And let's see, who else did I? And Mrs. Lucy Beeman was the superintendent of schools at one time. But when I worked with her on the board, she was retired. She was just at home and, you know, doing these extra things that she was interested in.
Were you, would you man the library at certain times?
We had a librarian. And
who was the librarian?
Ruby Paxton. And the library was open, I think, Monday afternoon and Wednesday afternoon, and Saturday a while, morning and afternoon, I believe, was the hours.
Was she a paid librarian?
Yes, we paid her some.
And mm-hmm. How did you get the money to pay her?
Well,
where
of course,
did come from?
They charged for the cards and for books, overdue books at the library. And then we had trouble making ends meet. So Mrs. Hemingway and I met with the commissioners and asked for money. every year for us to be put into the budget to receive money for the library. And I think they gave us $150 a year to begin with. And occasionally we would have a bake sale or something to help raise some funds for the library.
That must really do your heart good now to see
yes.
how it's grown.
Yes, it's wonderful.
I think you were in the start of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's great. Well, I just really thank you for telling us all of this, and I hope that what we've said today can help some of the young people know what it was like to live in the West Cliff and Custer County area in times past.
Thank you.